before I read any more, I just want to give you an idea of what the Lord has laid upon my heart in connection with this exercise. I've never spoken in this before, and I feel I need much. But tonight I would like to go by the help of the Spirit of God, a little concise outline of the Epistle to the Romans. It's so important in this day in which we are living in. I was glad our brother took up this afternoon the Old Testament scripture, because it tells me in Romans the things that were written aforetime, they were written for our learning. So we've got to learn from the Old Testament as well as the New. But the Epistle to the Romans has been laid upon my heart for a few days. And I would like, just by the help of God, just to give a little outline in connection with the Epistle to the Romans. It's divided into three divisions. The first eight chapters is doctrinal. And chapters 9, 10, and 11 is dispensational, which is very important, dispensational truth. And from chapter 12 to the end is devotional, or if you like the other word, practical. Now I notice in my study of this epistle that the expression of God is mentioned over 60 times. I notice too that God is spoken more in the Epistle to the Romans than any other epistle. The Christ who came is God over all, blessed forevermore. And you'll notice down through this chapter, I think there's 12 expressions you'll find what is of God, of God, of God. Could you just run down them very quickly? Just to give you an idea what's laid up in my heart. Verse 1, the gospel of God. Verse 4, verse 7, the beloved of God. A lovely expression, isn't it? The beloved of God. Verse 10, the will of God. Verse 16, I like this verse. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. Power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, power of God. Verse 17, the righteousness of God. Verse 18, the wrath of God. Verse 19, what is known of God. Verse 25, the truth of God. Verse 30, the haters of God. Verse 32, the judgment of God. So I think if you check them up, I maybe missed one out, but so, but never mind. If you check it up, I think you'll find about 11 or 12 times we have this expression of God, of God. F. E. Hughes was going to the meeting one Lord's morning. He told me this story a number of years ago. And a little boy came up to him, and he was shouting, "Have you got your Sunday paper? Have you got the news of the world?" And he looked down at the little boy and the news vendor, you know, and he said to him, he says, "Sonny," he says, "yes, I've got my paper." Took his Bible out. He says, "I've got the news of both." To the young people, this book is very much up to date. And the reason why I've told you about that, In the same chapter, we have very much up-to-date news for you. And I'm going to draw your attention to it right now. Verse 23. Three things they change, they change the glory of the incorruptible God into the image made of a corruptible man, to birds and beasts. One thing they've done, evolution, hasn't it? Swept over the country. Next one, the thing they've changed. Verse 25, they've changed the truth of God into a lie.
to admit.
Verse 26. For this cause God gave them up into vile affections. For the woman, they would change the natural use to which is against nature. The lesbians. Verse 27. We have the homosexual. Likewise unto the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned with her own lust towards men, so on. Sad reading, isn't it? They can't even get a cure for it now. The disease. So wicked. It's up to date, isn't it? Very much up to date. Government has licensed it now. It's not safe. Bible says it's sin. Wicked sin. So we're very much up to date with this book. Right up to date. From verse 29 to the end of this chapter, we have 21 things mentioned. They're all up to date. I don't want to mention them all. You can read them for yourself. Right up to date in those papers today. It's been well put in those first few verses and chapters. Man's ruin. But thank God, as you go over the book, we get God's remedy. Oh yes, we'll come to it. God's remedy. What a sad time we're living in, isn't it? Thinking about this outline, you know, I thought about when Noah came down, you know, when Noah came out the ark and he set up the ark, set up his altar and so on. His three sons came forward, you remember? Ham and Shem and Japheth. I suppose we get them found in the book of the Acts, don't we? Chapters 8, at the open unit. Chapters 9, chapters 10. There they are. And it brings them out. And I think they're brought out here, you know, because the whole world is guilty before God. I like to look upon it this way. But you know, when you come to chapter 3, we get the three mentioned, the three men mentioned, so to speak, Ham and Japheth and the Jews are all mentioned here. Gentiles, the Greek philosopher, they're all characterized here. They're all guilty before God. He's not only the God of creation, he's the God of salvation. A young man tonight, I want to tell you what a wealth of truth is in the Epistle to the Romans. Old brethren used to tell me when I came amongst brethren, if you're a good Roman, you can go in. If Romans takes us to the wilderness, ready to cross the Jordan. Colossians, of course, will cross the Jordan and ready to possess the land. When we come to Ephesians, which is the highest truth, we're in possession of the land and we're exercised to maintain. But what a book this is, isn't it? And it keeps us right up to date. Well, we move on to chapter 3, so to speak. And I'm just going to run down the chapters before we turn over. I would say in chapter 3 we have the three children of the sons of the Noah in the first two chapters, so to speak. Chapter 3 we have the mercy seat, haven't we? And in chapter 4 we have pardon raised again for justification. Chapter 5 we have the transfer from Adam to Christ. Chapter 6, you know, baptism, death and burial, get our death certificate. Chapter 7, we get married to another, we get our marriage certificate. Spiritual. Chapter 8, we get our spiritual certificate. Come to chapter 9, we have the sovereignty of God. Chapter 10, the zeal of God. Chapter 11, the ways of God, knowledge of God. Chapter 12, the will of God. Chapter 13, the governments ordained of God. We'll come to it. Chapter 14, we have the kingdom of God. Chapter 15, we have the grace of God. Chapter 16, it's glory to God, to the only wise God. Well, at least chapter 1, there's one little word I'd like to draw your attention to. Just one word, it's at the end of verse 11. Established. Oh, I like that word, you know. Mr. Coates has a book on the believer established. Established? I would say to the young man, I would pray to God tonight that you might be established in the Epistle to the Romans. You know what you find in the Epistle to the Romans? I'll give you a few of them. Spiritual blessings. Salvation, chapter 1, Gospel of Christ, power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Sanctification, sanctified by the Spirit. Chapter 14, is it? Or 15? Justification. Reconciliation. Wonderful truth, aren't they? Eternal life. Something of death, can't it? Peace with God. Sonship, chapter 8. Some wonderful things for us to really hold on in the Epistle to the Romans. Something that God would have us to enjoy. But we pass on now to chapter 3. Chapter 2, of course, it's the judgment of God. I just refer to chapter 2 here if you like to look at it. You'll get that expression, judgment of God, thou art inexcusable, I think, 3 or 4 times. Chapter 2 and verse 2. Verse 3, judgment of God. Verse 5, judgment of God. And of course, with the goodness of God. So on. Now, chapter 3, I'd like to touch on chapter 3 just for a minute. From verses 10 to 19, we have 14 charges against the human race. When we come to the end of verse 19, the whole world may become guilty before God. Then he introduces us to the righteousness of God. Then he touches on verse 25, and this is what I want to speak about. This is God's remedy for all the sin and the wickedness that's going on. This is God's remedy. The blood of Christ. This is the Passover, isn't it? This is God's remedy. Verse 25, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness, remission of sins, and so on. It's the mercy seat. A brother told me, not very long ago, that a preacher went up to a pulpit like this, or a platform if you like, to preach the gospel. And as he got up, he noticed there was a strip of paper on the board, and it read this, don't preach the blood. You know, when I was told that story, it affected me greatly. Because when I was in America, staying with R.K. Campbell, he told me that a company of Christians there were taking the blood out of the hymn book, all the hymns referring to the precious blood of Christ. We've taken a man's life. Could you imagine a preacher preaching without preaching the blood? It's all a remedy. It's God's remedy for sins and sin. If you've another remedy, you come up with it. I'm thinking about this, you know. I thought to myself, well, there's no salvation without the blood. There's no peace without the blood. He made peace with the blood of his cross. There's no justification without the blood, justified by blood. Reconciliation by the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sin. I don't know how people can suggest these things from the Word of God. I'm sure every one of us enjoy moving into the holiest, the Lord's the morning especially. You think of the apostle, having therefore brethren boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. There's no other way. The title to heaven, precious, precious blood of Christ. I wonder if we're losing it in our preaching. Are we trying to get another cure? There's no other cure. This is God's remedy. We've seen God, man's ruin. Ruining. We were in it, you know. All have sinned. But God has a remedy. The precious, precious blood of Christ. God's Son has cleansed us from all sin. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. How sad it is, what a landslide we've taken, haven't we? In this country of ours, land of Bibles, a number of years ago. Thank God for the Word of God. Thank God for the epistle to the Romans, which keeps us up to date. One of the old diehards amongst the brethren, many, many years ago, he wanted to take his picture, you know, take a picture of it. Don't take my picture. Don't take my picture, he said. He says, as a full size of my picture in Romans. And he says, the best picture is yet to come. And he says, what is it? Conform to the image of God, dear son. You know, brethren, that's where we are going on to, you know. If we've been reminded that we're sinners, thank God we're called saved. Thank God we can be servants, chapter 6. But we come to chapter 8 for each sonship. Sonship, our Father. Adoption of son. It's in that wonderful chapter we're conformed to the image. We're going to be conformed to the image of God's will. Well, we come to chapter 4. We have the promises of God. It says, Abraham staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. It speaks more about faith in the epistle to the Romans than any other epistle. Oh, I see some of you looking. Yes, you're thinking that Hebrews beats it, and doesn't it? You check it out. More times in this book, the just shall live by faith. Abraham was strong in faith. The promises of God. And you know every promise of God is in Christ. One who is over all, God blessed forevermore. I miss out that doctrine in chapter 1. Who is over all? God bless you forevermore. Amen. You noticed all the amens in Romans, four doxologies? Amen. Don't hear very many amens nowadays. You know what it means? So let it be. Amen. The promises of God. Well, verse 24. Delivered up for our offenses, raised again for our justifications. If we have the Passover with the blood in chapter 3, we've got the Red Sea here, haven't we? The Lord has found glory, saying, the horse and the rider is cast into the sea. The Red Sea speaks about the death and resurrection of Christ, doesn't it? That's the Red Sea. Something to sing about. That's the reason why we sang so heartily tonight. Sing aloud to God our strength. It's of God, you see. It's all of God. Ah, Paul, in this epistle, he makes much of God, the greatness of God, and the greatness of the work of Christ, for God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. When we come to chapter 5, lovely chapter this is, we're in the wilderness here that God provides for us, isn't he? You remember after they went through the Red Sea, they went into the wilderness. God has provided for us here. He shared the love of God. There's the love of God in this chapter, haven't we? The love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. Verse 5. For the love of their sakes. Notice. Verse 8. But God. Ah, here it is. Here it is again. The greatness of God. But God. Who commended his love towards us while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more. Then being now justified by his blood. You see the emphasis the Spirit of God would put on the blood, the precious blood of Christ. But justified by his blood, justified by faith, justified by his grace, justified by God, and so on. It's the truth of it, isn't it? Righteousness and justification, it's a key word right through Romans, isn't it? The righteousness of God is unto all. Ah, but it's only upon all them that believe. You a believer? Everyone a believer here? Well, you get the righteousness of God when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ shall be upon you. Being justified, much more. Very striking, I think, these two words are mentioned about the four or five times. Verse 9, much more. Verse 10, we are reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more again, you see. And in the verse 15, much more. Verse 17, much more. And verse 20, much more. The reason why I'm telling you that, because in the epistle to the Hebrews, we have the no more. We've no more sacrifice for sin, chapter 10. And we've no more conscience of sin. And we've no more offering for sin. And there's no more remembrance of sin, the no more. But here, Paul brings it to much more. But thank God it doesn't stop at that. There's the evermore. Lord, evermore give us this bread. Listen to his word to the Apostle John. You remember John when he was in the Isle of Patmos for the testimony of Jesus. Ah, there he was. Thought he was isolated. Jesus comes along. The Lord Jesus comes along. Says, John, fear not. I am he that liveth, became dead, but behold, I'm alive forevermore. Thank God for the evermore. He's alive forevermore. What a message, isn't it, for a gospel preacher? He's alive forevermore, and he's coming again. No more conscience of sin, no more remembrance of sin, much more being justified by his precious, precious blood. I suppose in chapter 5 too, we have the two heads who get transferred, don't we? The transfer from Adam to Christ. Good transfer, isn't it? As in Adam, all die. As in Christ, all shall be made alive. Good thing to be in Christ. Young believer, take this place in this universe, being in Christ. Then a man be in Christ, there is new creation. Have you reached it? It's a Pauline expression, no doubt. So we mentioned it over 40 times. Worth taking note of. In Christ. Then a man be in Christ, new creation. And mind you, it's the dead in Christ that's going to rise first. In all things, he must have the preeminence. Christ came over all. God bless it forevermore. Well, we're going to chapter 6. The love of God in chapter 5. Chapter 6, we have the gift of God. Think of that last verse. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. You know, the world, you know, they don't start to give gifts unless it's a birthday or a Christmas time. God's giving gifts every day. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And you know, thank God, there are people getting saved today for getting the gift of God. It's eternal life. Life, life, eternal life, Jesus alone is the giver. Well, we're in the waters of Mara here, aren't we? It's good to notice in this chapter, verse 3, the Spirit of God would have us to know these things. Know ye not. Verse 6, knowing this about the old man, you know. The old man and the new man. Verse 9, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead. Verse 16, know ye not. You know, God would have us to know these things. Knowing and reckoning and yielding. These are the 3 points in this chapter, isn't it? And it finishes up with, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now we move to chapter 7. We have the law of God here. Well, if we have a death certificate in chapter 6, death and burial with Christ, well, we're raised again to newness of life. We're married to another in chapter 7. The two husbands, two natures, two laws. Two eyes. But I finishes up with a note of triumph, doesn't he? I thank God, he says, last verse. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? But he says, I thank God. He's in God again, you see. Good thing to bring God into the circumstances. I thank God, he says, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law, but with the flesh, the law of God, the law of sin. Now we go to chapter 8. I think we've come to the brazen serpent and the springing well. Good chapter, isn't it? Spirit's mentioned here about 19 times. A wonderful chapter this is. Well, it's often been said about this chapter, I'm sure you've heard it. This is not my own. I've been heard this since I came amongst brethren. There's no condemnation. And then there's no accusation. And there's no reservation. And thank God there's no separation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What a chapter this is. And you know, the Spirit of God is mentioned here, I said, about 19 times. I feel sometimes you don't give the Spirit of God his rightful place, you know. Apart from the Spirit of God, you and I would know nothing about the things of God. The Bible's clear and plain in it. Paul tells us that the natural man cannot understand the things of God because they are spiritually discerned. Oh, I thank God for the Spirit. He's not an influence, you know. He's a person, divine person in the Godhead. Spirit of God. And how he delights to take up the things of Christ and show them unto us. He doesn't make a mistake when he brings something before our soul. You'll notice, too, if the Spirit gives you an impression, you don't forget it. If you read it from someone else, you'll forget it. Do not forget an impression you get from the Spirit. And here we have this wonderful chapter, chapter 8. I haven't time to develop it. But oh, just to be reminded of the purpose of God here. All things work together for good. The counsel of God. To realize there's no breakdown on God's side. All things work together to those that love God, according to the purpose of God. It's wonderful to see it, but we must move on. Chapter 9. Now we come to the dispensational aspect of the Epistle to the Romans. Mr. McBroom once said to me, I was only a young Christian then, get a hold of dispensational truth. If you don't, you'll be at sea in the Scriptures. That's very true. You've got to be able to rightly divide the word of truth. Well, we've got to be able to rightly divide the rapture from the period. The world to come from the eternal state. Or the day of God, if you like. Rightly dividing the word of truth. And here we have the purpose of God here, so to speak, and we have Israel being taken up and spoken. There's an illustration I heard many years ago, and I think it's very good. In a Bible reading, we were discussing the assembly, the church, and the Israel. And a brother said this. He says, well, he says, you see a railway, he says, the church is on the main line just now, and the church is going right ahead. God's taking up the church. And he says, the church is bound for the glory. But he says, In the siding, there lies Israel. They're in the siding, you see. The God's earthly people. And once the express train gets right through and goes to glory, when the Lord comes, out comes Israel on the main line. That's very simple, isn't it? And that's true. Yes, God's earthly people. The threat to exterminate them. The threat to do all sorts of things with them. God has them in the siding. I'll deal with you when the church goes to glory. And they come in, and the main line is a remnant. And we know they're going to take part in the world to come. And everything that has breath shall praise the Lord. Wonderful day that. So it's good to be able to rightly divide the word of truth. 9, 10, and 11. But there's one little verse I don't want to miss. And it's verse 23. Our brother was speaking about the pitcher. Well, a pitcher's a vessel. Well, I'm going to speak about the pitcher. And it's a vessel. And it says here, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on vessels of mercy which are being prepared for the glory. Brethren, you and I are vessels of mercy. As I get older, I appreciate mercy more and more every day. Paul says, I obtain mercy. You and I, we shouldn't get puffed up because we're just vessels of mercy. But we're getting prepared for the glory. And some of us have had hard pitches to be taken off, you know. Knocks you. Get right. The potter and the clay. And he's preparing you and I. He's passing us through difficulties, problems. But he's preparing us for the glory. We're not getting prepared for the parliament or preparing for our retirement. We're getting prepared for the glory. And you and I are going to take part in a place in the world to come. And we're getting fitted for it now. We're in the school. And mind you, it's not Oxford University. It's the school of God. It's the greatest school in the world. And it's going on night and day with you and I. I don't know what problem you're facing, what you're going through. God knows what I'm going through. And we kick against it. But he's preparing us for the glory. For the glory. We're only passing through, you know. We're not of this world. We're in it. We'll be glad when we get out of it. It's getting worse every day. Things are getting out of control. It's up to date. Did you read the 21 things I told you to read about? They don't know what to do with them. They can't bring up their children now. The social services can't do anything with the young people. The old people too. Everything's out of order. Every country's out of order. You tell me it's not up to date? The coming of the Lord's drawing nigh. But you and I, we thank God every day with a vessel of mercy. His mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Oh, I thank God for mercy every morning. Show me the mercy and the grace of God that keeps us going on. And it speaks about mercy in more times in this epistle than any other epistle. Vessels of mercy. This is a picture. The picture that our brother was speaking about. The vessel. Ecclesiastes 12. We are vessels of mercy, getting prepared for the glory. Well, we go to chapter 10. Verse 1 and verse 2 gives us a line. Zeal of God. Here we are of God. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for his will that I may be saved. Saved! Oh, this is a word we're losing in our preaching. Saved. It's more times mentioned in this book, in this epistle, than any other epistle. Saved. This is a wonderful chapter, isn't it? Chapter. Romans 10 and 9 is a favorite verse of mine. That if thou shalt confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. There are thousands in the glory saved by that wonderful verse. I hope we've not dropped this word saved from our preaching. Paul's heart desire was that Israel might be saved. We pray in our little village that our village might be saved. You know, we had a lovely finish to our senior citizens meeting on Tuesday past. We could pass the Tuesday. Last meeting for the year. We ran it October, November, December. January, February, March, 3 o'clock on a Tuesday afternoon. Average of 100 every Tuesday. Wonderful. Brother Arthur Goodwin was up. There were 106 that week he was up. So an extra 6 from being a Londoner. However, there it is. It was good to see them coming along. The last preaching, there was two women, one 50 and the other about 55, and they came up to the preacher and they said, we would like to get saved. We want to get saved today. The brother was on being saved. We want to get saved today. Now those women have been going to a church in our village for years. A woman said to me,
They don't need to be saved. They've been going to church for years. You can come to the meeting for years and not being saved. Are you saved? Lord Jesus says, I am the door by me. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. Are you saved? Well, we had the joy, one of our two of us, bowing the knee with those women and giving their heart and life to Christ. Joy in heaven over sinners repenting, getting saved. May God help us not to remove the old landmarks. Let us keep preaching the blood. Let us keep preaching that we should be saved. Because God's desire is that all men should be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Now I must go into chapter 11. I'm just going to touch the doxology in chapter 11. It's at the end of chapter 11. Oh, the depths of riches, both of the wisdom of knowledge of God, how unsearchable we are. Verse 36. For of him, through him, to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. You notice the amens in Romans? Amen. So let it be. Now when we come to chapter 12, we have the will of God. You know anything about the will of God? Well, the first two verses, I beseech you therefore, brethren, here it is again, by the mercies of God. Oh, the mercies of God. These two verses, they affect us and be conformed, not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. It affects us both bodily, notice, bodily, our bodies, socially. What company do we keep with the world, do we? Socially, it affects us there. Mentally, our mind. And it affects us spiritually. You might say, well, we don't get very far in Romans. Well, I'll tell you something about Romans. This chapter brings in a lovely touch. Our brother gave out that lovely hymn at the beginning of the meeting in connection with the headship. Headship. Well, in verse 5 in chapter 12, we get the body of Christ mentioned for the first time. We get the truth of the one body mentioned for the first time in Romans 12. And notice, it's in Christ. It's the one body in Christ. Well, that's very important, isn't it? The one body in Christ. Well, I'm sure we get some fundamental truths in this epistle. We know that the body gets worked out in the Colossians, headship and so on, and Ephesians. But it's mentioned first in Romans. I hope you're going to be a good Roman. If you haven't read through Romans, you read it. It's full of good things. Things that would establish you. Notice that word. God would have you to be established in the things of God, in salvation. In justification, sanctification, reconciliation. Mind you, when we come to chapter 5, I missed this note, but we rise to the highest point, we join God. Brother was speaking about worshippers. Chapter 5, I missed that point. We join God to our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom now we've received the reconciliation. Man's ruin, God's remedy. Our response, join God. Have you made the response? Join God. Worship of God. I was thinking while our brother was speaking this afternoon about old men, you know. I thought about Jacob. And mind you, Jacob had a checkered life, but he had a good finish. Leaning up on his staff, it says, he was worshipping God. Good finish. I would to God we all have a good finish. Worshipping God. Well, Romans 12, the will of God. Romans 13, we have in verse 1, ordained of God. You know, we grumble about the governments and so on. I'm a politician, I've never voted in my life. But it says here we have to be subject to the powers that be. They're ordained by God. They're ordained by God, whether we like it or not. You see, things won't get better no matter what government's in. Don't you look for better things here. Bible tells me we're in the last hour of the last days. Things are going to get worse, and they will get worse. So let's be content with such things as we have. The night is far spent. Well, he says here in verse 7, none of us live to ourselves. Whether we live unto the Lord, or whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live or whether we die, we're the Lord's. Isn't that lovely? Whether we live or whether we die, we're the Lord. You know, there are people getting ushered into eternity in a moment of time. But the Christian, we're with the Lord's. He brings in the Lordship here, doesn't he? We're the Lord's. Can't think to be the Lord's. Well, chapter 15, we have that some lovely touches here. Verse 4 says, the things which were written aforetime were learnt for our learning, that through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures we might have hope. Well, we have the God of patience. Verse 5, God of hope. Verse 13, that's a lovely verse. Fill you with all joy and peace in believing, and abound in hope. Through the power, notice that Paul lays emphasis on the power of the Holy Ghost. The power of the Holy Ghost. Speaks about it again, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost, verse 16 and so on. And we have the grace of God in verse 15. There we have the power again mentioned in verse 19, the power of the Spirit. But I'd like just to read those two verses in verse 29 and verse 30. I am sure when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of